You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Well, the networking of small groups was a big factor, and the revival created more of it, and it's somewhat subsided, I think. I may be wrong, but I think it's coming back.
Yeah.
And in certain countries where there's persecution, it's massive.
It's no choice.
The biggest, largest, fastest growing church in the world is in Iran.
Right.
And there are other areas where Christianity is burgeoning under persecution.
So they have, they're meeting almost covertly in home groups. They're effectively being discipled, because when you're under that persecution, it helps you line up your choices. Either I'm for God or I'm not for God. You know, you can't just bring anybody into your fellowship who might be part of the government, who's coming there to be able to take down the push your house over. If you're in China, they'll come and push your house over with a bulldozer if they find out that you're meeting that way.
Well, your discernment level moves up a few notches.
Oh, yeah.
And you start getting to know people in a different way.
Right.
And you begin to tell whether they're believers or not, or whether they're hungry or not.
Right.
And, I remember when I first got baptized in the Spirit, I'd drive 1,000 miles to be with people that understood what was happening to me.
Right.
And I did. I drove all over the country.
Right.
I met Derek Prince in 1966. I didn't meet him. I went to hear him in St. Louis. Ken and I drove up.
Okay. Yeah.
To be there. Mm-hmm. And because I was hungry to hear somebody that understood what was going on in my life.
I totally understand that.
I drove to Baton Rouge. I drove to Houston, Dallas, because I needed to know what was going on in me. And when I found people that understood, we had a bond just like that.
Right.
Now most people don't, it's everywhere.
Right.
So you can...
Well, I think about 1966, Time Magazine's front cover was God is dead. At the same time, God's pouring out his Spirit. And 5 years later, 1971, Time Magazine says, God is alive, his son is Jesus, and things are breaking out. And it's talking about the movement that you're involved in, how these strip joints turned into coffee shops.
And Nietzsche's dead.
Yeah, right.
Well,
so it's like simultaneously, the adversary thinks they snuffed out God. God goes, watch this. He just pours out his Spirit. We're going like, what meanest thou this? I need to drive 1,000 miles. Something's happened to me that's good, but I need to know more. That's powerful.
I was in seminary when the Nietzsche's quote, God is dead, was put on the magazine and became rather famous. And I remember being in seminary, which I thought at the time it was dead pretty much. I mean, it was... let's say it moved from a conservative to more moderate and perhaps even liberal neo-orthodoxy. And so I was going through that turmoil prior to getting baptized in the Spirit. I got baptized in the Spirit in April of 1964. My parents and I drove, and my wife, we drove to somewhere up in the east in New Jersey. I think it was in New Jersey, anyway, to a Southern Baptist Convention. They held it in the Northeast. And we stopped in Greenville, North Carolina, where my uncle, who was a psychiatrist, to visit him. Now, I've just been baptized in the Spirit. And
Are they taking you to a psychiatrist?
No. But we stopped. this is interesting. I mean, the timing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to be quiet because I might start speaking in tongues if I open my mouth. I mean, I just am so full and thrilled with God. And
because like you said, going from a desert experience.
Oh yeah,
I've been being taken into a river.
Nearly drowned.
Yeah.
And so, so we're out on his deck and he's grilling. And
Grilling you or grilling food?
Well, no, he's grilling the food.
Okay.
And and then he tosses the magazine to me. I believe it's the Saturday Evening Post that features these Episcopalians speaking in tongues.
Right.
Now, I'm trying to sit there and be quiet. And he's a psychiatrist.
Right.
And is the head of the school system.
Uh-huh.
And he, anyway, the head of the school system in Greenville, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
So he tosses me the magazine. It's either Life or Post, I forget. I think it's Saturday Evening Post. But anyway, and there are pictures of Dennis Bennett and these people speaking in tongues.
Right.
And there's others, and there's an interview and all. And he knows I'm a pastor, and he says, well, what do you think of this?
Oh, no.
I gave him a noncommittal answer.
Right, right.
Because I didn't know how to describe what was going on.
Right, I understand that.
And I don't think he had a clue what was going on with me.
Right.
And so I went on up to the convention with my father. And there were some issues that came up I won't go into. But it was just a kind of time where you didn't know what was going to happen next.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, you had basically three aspects of what was going on based on what I'm reading here. You could let me know. First, you had the Catholic charismatics. And some Catholics begin to get filled with the baptism. You had what they called the independent charismatic, but then you had the mainstream denominations, you know, they got filled. I don't know what he referred to them as. But he writes, he says, by 1970, an estimated 10% of the clergy or 1 million and 1 million lay people were filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And as I was reading that, it's almost like the Lord, at that time, the church was going dark. It was going liberal. It was just kind of, everything was being taken apart. And it's like the Holy Spirit just came in, and he touched 10% of the leaders. He touched, you know, a million of the followers, potentially, the lay people. And it caused the denominations themselves to say, hold off. We don't need to keep going this direction, because if we do, we're going to lose the entire, people are going to go after God. And almost put like a bookmark that says, stop going the direction you're going in. It almost seemed like that, like Holy Spirit just interrupted this liberal turn to everything. Was kind of, you know, it was just crazy what was happening in the 60s with the direction of things. I mean, the fact that we went from, you know, that it's okay to divorce, which was, today it's not a big deal, but then it was a big deal, that it's okay, we need to abort your child, that you can take the child and the baby. You know, birth control came around the 60s, you know, 50s. In the 50s, by the time of the 60s, that was happening, and consequence of that didn't work all the time, which means babies were being birthed. It was Vietnam War and all this crisis, and the church, you know, at that time, you know, based on what my understanding was, God just interrupted. He just interrupted everybody's thought pattern with this Holy Spirit. He just kind of just moved, and everybody's like, what is this? And then we're finding out, this is God. And then he kind of turned everything. How do you see that?
Well, I think God did move. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Harold Bredesen, who's on the board of CBN, Pat Robertson's station, I think he was baptized in the Spirit in 1959. And Pat must have been somewhere not long after that. And then you had Dennis Bennett, 1961 or two, along in there. Mm-hmm. You had Larry Christensen, a Lutheran, who was baptized in Spirit in 61 or two, about the same time. And it was a small amount. Mostly the Assemblies of God were known. I think they might have had a million people, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But they were Pentecostals, mm-hmm. and they were pretty well had been isolated.
Right.
But what began to happen in the very late 50s, early 60s, is some prominent denominational guys got baptized in the Spirit. Ken was baptized in the Spirit in 64, I was 64, and then you had others come along about that time, 65, 66. 67 is when the Catholic Charismatics began. I'm on the board of something called the Ark and the Dove, which is a retreat center where Catholics were baptized in the Spirit in 1967. And that became a huge thing because there are a lot of Catholics. And millions worldwide have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. And so you just had this, well, denominations. I hate to be so general because there's a lot of variety within denominations. But denominations generally seem to be sliding. You had the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches that were dominated by liberal people. And it was a lot of people from those groups got baptized in the Holy Spirit because they were hungry for God.
Hunger.
And yes. Right. And all denominations became afraid of charismatics. I was asked if I would contribute to writing a book on how Baptists responded to me. And I decided not to. It was a professor at Baylor who was not a charismatic. But he said, I'm very interested in what happened. And Baptists have lost momentum, as have Methodists and other groups too. And so to reach this culture, it's going to take the power of God.
He could interrupt again. He could just sudden outpouring of...
of course he can. And and I think, I'm praying he will.
Yes.
But you're talking about something supernatural. You're talking about something that gets people's attention. Because getting people's attention in this culture is no easy thing.
Yes.
And they're very occupied with a lot of different things. So they've got to see something that they say, that's not normal.
Right.
And that's what it's going to take. I think it'll happen in politics. I think it'll happen in churches. Yeah. I think it's going to happen in the culture if God's going to do it.
Right.
And I think he is doing some things that have gotten people's attention.
Oh, yeah.
And some people don't like it. Some people do.
Well, those three names were a mainstream Protestant charismatic, Roman Catholic charismatics, and independent charismatics that he talked about.
Right.
So, you know, one of the words is recently, you know, given a prophetic word, I believe it was by Pastor John Kilpatrick and Dutch Sheets, who are speaking prophetically, that everything's going to shift. All of a sudden, when you see this government official carrying on like they are now, they're literally going to be talking about the gospel. And each of these areas that we're seeing is everything's going to be in the shift. And that you've seen this, but this generation has seen it where it's just going to be everywhere. It's not going to happen in some building somewhere. It's just going to be all over the place happening. Encounters in the streets, encounters, you know, in government buildings, and encounters in the military bases. And were you seeing that take place during that time, just all over the place?
Yes, I would say so. I think you saw a lot of breaking out. A lot of coffee houses were started. A lot of home groups were started. There were a lot of things going on outside the church and inside the church as well. But I think that what you're talking about, if God moves again, it will be more stark than it was in the 60s and 70s, because I really think we're in a more secular culture than we've ever been in.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to happen in places where it will be forbidden to happen, but it will happen. Schools,
right?
Business places,
yeah.
Because God's intent is the whole world; it's not just the church.
Yeah, I had this dream the Lord gave me. He speaks to me through dreams, but I was at a school, and at a couple of these, but one was at the school, probably grammar school, you know, fifth grade and below, and the glory of God just poured out of the school, and the kids automatically, without hesitation, functioned in the glory. They loved the glory. They just were praying for each other and this type of thing. And then the teachers came because they were drawn. Then the community came to the school because they were drawn by the glory of God. Then people began to sing, a choir began to sing, but it wasn't a choir from a church. It's just a choir singing a secular song almost, but it was anointed. And then somebody from the entertainment was there who saw this, that the glory of God moved on their heart so much. They said, And they wanted to give to these people that were singing, but they realized they didn't have the character. But they said, I want to give what they never want again. And what they said was they were going to give the money to people. And the dream was they were going to give the money to us so we could micro give it out as the character builds so they actually can contain the blessing. Because they've had a lot of finances go through their hands, but they didn't have the ability to manage it. And, you know, God wants to bless us so much that he's willing to train us up and disciple us to be able to have wealth to be able to take in this harvest. So that was just one encounter with the school. I saw that. It was just so powerful. But it was the glory, God encountering the school with his presence. And it was just something. So you're talking about school, God moving in schools. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I grew up in early years in the bayous of Louisiana. It was Catholic. Mm-hmm. My father was a Baptist faith missionary. My relatives were Catholic, and there was a lot of threats against my father.
Why?
And this is in 1931, 32, okay. 33, and then I came along in 37, mm-hmm. and he was still ministering to these people. But my mother was an ex-Catholic, and so I had a lot of Catholic bias. Mm-hmm. And it was not just Catholic as we know it here. It was ethnic. It was closed.
And they were threatening your father.
He was an outsider coming in with a different gospel, a different Bible. He had a King James Bible. They had a New Way version. When they would baptize, sometimes their lives would be threatened. In Golden Meadow, Louisiana, they were going to baptize in Baie Lafourche. Mm-hmm. And a man got in a pirogue and a little boat and rowed out and had a double barrel shotgun. He said, the first one in the water, I'll blow him out of the water.
Get out of Dodge.
They had to call the sheriff that was 50 miles away, was the nearest sheriff. They didn't need sheriffs in those communities. They took care of their own business.
This is a baptizing service.
This was a baptismal service.
Whoa. And
so I'm saying that to say why I grew up with a bias. Well, when I got baptized in the Spirit, mm-hmm. and I'd had a Catholic friend in high school, but, you know, we didn't have a Catholic church in Theodore, Alabama, where mm-hmm. I spent most of my life. And so I get baptized in the Spirit. The secretary to the president gets saved and baptized in the Spirit in one of our meetings. Mm-hmm. I get invited to do a seminar in a Jesuit college.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is 1966. Now we're talking about unusual things, okay? I get invited to speak in Bishop Tulin High School, which is a Catholic girls' high school at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was shocked. The guy calls me, he said, I'd like you to come over and speak. Uh-huh. And I don't know him. Mm-hmm. He's a priest.
Right.
I said, what would you want me to talk about? He said, anything you want to talk about. I said, well, how about the new birth and being filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, that sounds great. Now, I mean, 1960, this is before the Catholic charismatic thing.
Right.
But there was no doubt in my mind that this was God because it would have never happened.
Right.
And it broke down something in me as well as something in them. We had kids get saved. We had people get filled with the Spirit at Spring Hill. Then years later, my son graduates from Spring Hill. My granddaughter graduates from Spring Hill. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a seminal thing that happened. Yeah. It saved us, by the way, thousands and thousands. I lost money on the seminar in 66, but God paid me back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFNKB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.